What makes a law firm? It's about passion, knowledge, understanding, and service. That's what defines Fluxmans. In this podcast series, we take you behind the desks of some of South Africa's smartest legal minds. Rashad Lisinski is a partner here at Fluxmans Attorneys. He has been here for how many years is it now?
Almost 10.
Wow. Okay. So we're celebrating anniversaries. And you qualified. I see you were on the Dean's list, so you're no slacker when it comes to making sure that you're on top of everything there is.
I don't know how I made it in.
Yeah, the really smart people always say that. Your interests, though, are, I think, the things that you and I are going to end up talking quite a lot about. But you are primarily involved in commercial litigation.
Yes.
You focus in communications, info technology, media, privacy law, and you've just recently completed your master's in artificial intelligence.
Yes.
Which is pretty fascinating. Did that have anything to do with law at all, or was it a whole different field that you can eventually incorporate back into the law?
Unfortunately, there's not really much that's been already established in that field, so it's just pretty much breaking ground and understanding the new stuff out there.
Well, that could be exciting. I mean, pioneering artificial intelligence law. Usually the law follows these trends, and then far behind the law is the politicians.
So generally what we do in South Africa is we watch what happens overseas.
Right.
And then 5 to 10 years later, we do it ourselves. That's primarily what interested me in this field, is that there's literally been no studies done on it from a legal perspective. The regulation is in its infancy. We're basically using old regulation, if there's any that exists, to try and put it in the box of AI. So ultimately, I foresee the next 5 to 10 years being a pioneering ground for new regulation.
Well, I mean, AI... What do you think the major areas of interest are going to be there when it comes to formulating regulation around it? I mean, it goes everywhere from what is a person.
It's so wide, Gary.
Yeah, what is consciousness, all of that kind of thing. Because we're going to have to define these things now, which we hadn't had to worry about before. We knew what a human was.
So we've got a mechanism in South Africa for a separate legal entity having some form of legal personality, i.e. a company. That's basically the only starting point we have. Overseas, they've already given AR tech citizenship. In Saudi Arabia, there's a robot Sophia, which is pretty creepy to watch. But ultimately, I think they're going to start looking like humans, acting like humans.
Would it be a juristic person? I mean, it couldn't be called a natural person.
Yes, that's exactly the point, is that we're going to have to almost fashion some form of legal personality for this person, particularly when machine learning is so prominent and they can basically start doing their own things autonomously.
Mm-hmm. Think about how much a phone already does for you now.
Yes.
It's an extension of your personality, but it could develop its own way of doing things.
Exactly, and it learns from what you say to it. It starts recommending food that you should eat. I mean, it does everything for you.
Does that make you nervous, or does it make you excited? Because when you talk to some of the guys in Silicon Valley and you hear what they have to say, a lot of them are very, very nervous about what the future of AI could bring.
Look, I'm an optimist. I don't like to look at that side. Obviously, you've got to be cognizant of it. But I really hope that there'll be some proper regulation of it and that they test it properly on platforms before it's made live. I mean, they're already doing it in America, in Europe to some extent, where they're testing autonomous cars. The funny thing is that the public seems to be very, very negative about it. One accident happens on a road and it's the end of the world. But, I mean, we have thousands of accidents happening every month.
Right.
On our roads with human drivers, and AI makes one mistake and that's the end of the world.
Well, it's like flying, some people are terrified and paranoid about flying. It's the safest way to travel statistically.
Yes, correct.
So when it comes to privacy and media law and personal information and all of that stuff, you must have done some really interesting cases in the last couple of years since the internet's become the main means for people to share information. There've got to be some stories or some precedents that have been made in cases that you might have led, where people's information has been compromised, where we've had to establish new law, where perhaps judges have had to be educated by a lawyer as to what this all means, because a lot of the judges might be even more technophobic than you know, the people who we would normally look at in society and laugh at.
Sure. I mean, if you look at the way the system's currently run, it's all paper-based. I'd love for a time where there might be a judge that would actually understand this kind of stuff, not necessarily having a degree in it, but being exposed to it. It would make it a lot easier for us as legal practitioners to explain it. At the moment, I have to put up a whiteboard and start from the beginning.
Do you have to explain to some of them what a smartphone is? I mean, are there judges who are still on landlines? You don't have to be nice. None of them are going to listen to the podcast.
That's true. Look, I mean, we've had very interesting matters where judges just don't get it. Oh. And that's really unfortunate, because then the only person that loses is the client.
But a lot of people don't get it. And I don't think a lot of people completely understand the protection of the POPI Act, the Protection of Personal Information Act. I don't think a lot of people are aware of what the risks are in sharing the amount of information you share. We are only just coming to grips now, and certainly the Americans have, by hauling Mark Zuckerberg in front of Congress. But how do you think most South Africans behave, and how should they behave? I mean, I'm asking for free legal advice here for everybody.
I'll keep it short. Look, you raise Mark Zuckerberg in the Cambridge Analytica scandal. I mean, that's just ridiculous. If you think about the fact that so many users were completely innocent in the whole thing. 270,000 people took a random quiz from Cambridge Analytica, and 50 million people's info was compromised. I mean, that's crazy. And the fact that we haven't really regulated it yet, I mean, we've only got Section 14 of the Constitution, which deals with privacy, and it's difficult to enforce. It's just nuts. And I don't think companies have really appreciated that it's more of a reputational issue. Someone, if you look, for example, with the recent Liberty Life incident.
What happened?
Liberty Life was compromised by ransomware, and they sent SMSs out to their clients saying, don't worry, this has happened, but we don't foresee that any of your information has been lost. Now, as a client, I'm not sure that I'd be comfortable with that. It's sensitive information. You've got policies,
sure,
life policies. You've got all of your information there, your ID number, your
the amount address.
You earn, your address.
Sure.
Most companies don't appreciate that it's reputational damage. When I hear from you that there's been a breach, I feel completely exposed. And if you write to me and say there's no financial implications, I don't care. My personal information is a commodity. It's
right.
The biggest commodity there is right now.
You don't walk around with a big sign around your neck with your ID number and your telephone number and your salary and everything else on it.
Nor would I want to.
But a lot of people, and let's be fair here, because we tend to blame corporations and governments, but individuals give away their information all the time. You go on an app, and the next thing, you've given them complete access to every bit of info on Facebook that you have about you, your messages, your logins, everything.
Yes, and I mean, Facebook's terms and conditions, I don't think anyone's read them.
You have.
I have, but I don't have anything.
The only man in South Africa who has. If you get into trouble with Facebook, you better find this man. Yeah, tell us what they say.
They basically say you grant Facebook the right to use your personal information, although you still own it, in inverted commas, in a vast number of ways, one of which being to generate revenue by de-identifying your personal information. Aggregating it with other Facebook users' personal information, and then selling that aggregated data to third-party advertisers.
So in other words, they'll gather all your info, but they won't necessarily attribute it to you personally.
Correct. So the de-identifying is basically taking all the personal elements out of it. Your name, your age exactly, your ID number, anything that can identify you personally.
But we should still be a little bit nervous, right?
Sure.
And everybody thinks they're posting their photos, they're putting up their status updates, they're having their little poll answered. Actually, you're doing all of that to create content for Mr. Zuckerberg.
And you love it. It's free. I'm not paying for this service.
No.
I'm just using data. It's not free.
So what's the worst thing that could happen, and what's the best thing that could happen?
The worst thing that could happen is exactly what happened with Cambridge Analytica. You electronically brainwashed to vote for someone that you don't want to actually, that shouldn't actually be in office.
Crooked Hillary. You get my point.
Yes.
And the best thing that could happen?
The best thing that could happen is that everyone contacts each other all over the world. We know what's happening with all of our friends.
Sure.
And it's a lovely, happy-go-lucky environment.
People meet on Tinder and all
yes.
that kind of thing.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
But the world is not benign.
No.
And that's why we have lawyers.
Correct. And there will always be a way to manipulate something, a system like that.
So what's the status quo with all the other social media?
So with the scandals that have gone on, they've all kind of followed suit.
Okay, WhatsApp and Instagram are owned by Facebook, so they obviously have the
yes.
same terms and conditions in that respect.
Sure, but WhatsApp's slightly different because your data is encrypted from end to end. So no one's really getting access to your information.
I think people would be most nervous about WhatsApp being cracked.
Yes.
Right?
A lot of politicians in South Africa.
Yeah, a lot of people in business in South Africa. I think
yes.
a lot of people, full stop.
Yes.
A lot of husbands and wives who aren't being honest with each other.
Correct.
And then the others is more or less the same.
Yes.
Do you think South Africa, when it comes to our level of preparedness for these kinds of things, and you mentioned the Liberty one earlier, do you think that we've got enough people who know how to handle situations where people's information is compromised, where privacy is infringed upon?
Definitely not.
Do we have enough case law
No.
to help us navigate this?
No. Listen, it's basically in its infancy, like I said. They're trying to. That's the way we work in the legal profession, is we rely on that case law, we rely on that precedent. And until a date that there's actually a functioning act, currently we've only got the regulator who's been in since December 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Now the GDPR has come in. The crazy thing is that, sorry to go off on a sidetrack, but companies don't appreciate that the GDPR is far more dangerous than poppy, right?
What's the GDPR?
The General Data Protection Regulation that was promulgated in Europe. It affects a lot of companies in South Africa.
That's where we had to re-agree to all the terms and conditions a
yes.
couple of months ago.
So you'll see if you go on an international
okay.
site.
Yeah.
You have to accept.
Right, and then new terms and conditions.
Yes. Oh. So...
aren't those meant to protect us more? That's what the politicians told us.
Absolutely. So what I was trying to get at is that Poppy, what they've done now and what I think the regulator is doing is waiting to see what happens with that act, how it's enforced, etc. So I don't think we're looking at Poppy coming in anytime soon, certainly not this year.
What were the main concerns you had as an objective outsider to Poppy?
Predominantly that we wouldn't be able to enforce it, that it would be like a number of acts in South Africa where you appoint a body that's meant to enforce these things and they don't actually have any teeth. So I'm hoping that all of the exposure that's happening overseas actually has a positive impact on the enforcement of our act. The interesting thing is that the GDPR has a huge penalty for not complying. I mean, it can be up to 4% of an entity's turnover,
wow.
or 20 million euros,
wow.
whichever is the greater. So I think, as in with other acts in South Africa, once people start getting fined, people will pay attention.
Hmm. But isn't that another way for governments to just find income? It doesn't seem that they're going to sort out the problem. They're just going to find these companies,
yes.
make them responsible, pass the buck, and then take some bucks from them in return.
Exactly.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's another concern.
Not a solution, another problem.
Yes, yes.
So are there people in South Africa who are working on this stuff at the moment? I mean, you mentioned that you did your master's in artificial intelligence. I can't imagine that many people who are specialists in this area.
No. I mean, there's a lot of tech lawyers dealing with it, trying out the system in law firms. In reality, there's no one that's actually looking at the regulation yet. I'm sure they've thought of it, but there's no specific body that's been created, and that's a bit scary, because
So you're going into an area of law now, and you've been in, obviously, an area of law now, which is kind of lonely because there are not that many people in it.
Yes.
It's you're walking around blind because there isn't a lot of precedent or regulation to help you out.
Correct.
And you're going to be part of making that. There's going to be huge business here.
Yes.
Going forward. This is going to be an area of massive growth.
I hope.
So, I mean, you're kind of set up for some very exciting things to happen.
Yes.
What do you? Who do you talk to if you are in this lonely part of the legal profession? I mean, what do you do to relax? What do you do to get out of that place of kind of trying to figure out so much?
I tend to do things where I don't speak to anyone. I like to. I'm a social person, but I'm actually quite introverted.
Mm-hmm.
So to relax, I'd go in a forest. I pick some mushrooms, not the medicinal ones.
All right.
The ones you eat with pasta.
Okay.
That
was about to get very interesting.
I know which ones they are.
Okay.
But
yeah. Sure. Okay.
I'll go fishing.
Right.
I'll do something like bass fishing.
You're an outdoors guy.
Yeah. So I'll just I'll set myself up and then I'll go on a journey for the day, and I'll just and I'll speak to no one, and I'll just fish.
That's terrific. I suppose it gives you a chance to almost clear the mind and get back to yourself so that you can come back here and wrestle with these very complicated matters.
Sure.
Well, it sounds interesting. I'm very pleased we got some time to speak to you today. And good luck with this extremely interesting part of the law and a part which it seems that you're one of a very select few people who has any kind of idea of where it might be going. It's exciting.
Thanks, Gareth.
Thank you. You've been listening to Fluxman's Attorneys for the Love of Law. For more information, go to fluxmans.com.